Welcome back. It's a Tuesday, the 20th day of September, 2022. I'm your host, Mark Call. And as it turns out, folks, I've got a relatively lengthy story that I want to run in just a few minutes here. And that's going to mean not a lot of time for some of the other things that are also important, but probably not quite as earth-shattering. Let's start, therefore, with a headline review. This one from Breitbart, also via InfoWars, says, there's an epidemic, who could have thought it, of domestic violent extremism, whether it actually exists or not. And it's a whistleblower that's come forward and accused the FBI's Washington field office of using cases related to the booga, booga, booga so-called insurrection that wasn't on January 6th at the U.S. Capitol to overstate the threat of DVEs, or domestic violent extremism, in America, according to ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee, Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio. The whistleblower alleged that the FBI office did not follow, who could have thought it, standard investigative practices for the January 6th cases when they moved those cases to various local field offices around the country based on where the case subjects were from, said Jordan in a letter addressed to the FBI Hormeister-in-Chief Christopher Wray on Monday. January 6th cases, quote, should all be officially led by the WFO, or Washington Field Office, and categorized as WFO cases, according to the letter, but instead a so-called task force dispatched instructions to open J6 investigations to local field offices nationwide, which received those cases, making it look as if they were actually conducting investigations, when in reality they were all being coordinated from Swamp Central, the WFO, which continued to conduct the bulk of the work. And the whistleblower told Jordan that this manipulative case file practice creates false and misleading crime statistics. Gee, do you think? Instead of hundreds of investigations stemming from a single black swan incident at the Capitol, FBI and DOJ officials point to significant increases in DVEs and terrorism as if they were all over the United States. What a bunch of scumbags. Here's one you probably didn't know but could have guessed. While Canada often receives praise for its socialized healthcare, the government-run medical system is now euthanizing the country's sick and poor people, says a piece from SlayNews.com. Many on the left might argue that the Canadian government's federalized healthcare system is more humane and something to be emulated, but it does seem that Canadian government officials are more interested in urging doctors to help patients kill themselves, hey, the poison poke helps too, rather than to treat them. Canada already has some of the most permissive euthanasia laws in the world, and their medical assistance in dying laws allow almost anyone who can claim some form of hardship or disability to receive physician-assisted suicide, regardless of how minor the disabilities might be. In one horror story, actually reported by the Associated Press, a 61-year-old fellow named Alan Nichols was successfully killed quickly after just a one-month waiting period because he was suffering from hearing loss. He was otherwise healthy, and his brother claimed that doctors railroaded Nichols, who had a hearing problem, into killing himself. And there's more here, but you get the picture. Says the story, it's the same for the disabled and mentally ill. I could draw a connection with people being duped into taking the poison poke, too, but you've probably already made that one yourselves. Let's turn next to a piece from InfoWars about Russian nationals living in Estonia who are going to have their firearms forcibly confiscated by the police if they refuse to voluntarily hand them over under what's called a new law, which also applies to Belarusians living in the Eastern European country. The bill has been finalized. It will almost certainly be voted into what passes for law over there, and as to how many of the registered gun owners are expected to comply. The Estonian Prime Minister said it was difficult for her to judge, but hey, who cares? If you know where you live. In total, only about 629 registered gun owners will have to turn over their firearms, and guess what? History shows what happens next. I guess you could also say this is another one of those word to the wise stories. I want to spend a few minutes today on a sequence of stories that, honestly, I think won't surprise a lot of listeners. Certainly most of them didn't surprise your host, because arguably we've seen it coming one way or another for quite a while. But on the other hand, I think it may literally shock the living hell, and I use that term explicitly, out of others. Because the truth seems to be that so many of the things out of the worst horror movies, dystopian movies, and even grade B science fiction is, in fact, coming to pass, if it hasn't already. Let's start with the biggie, and for that reason, perhaps the most obvious, courtesy of Dr. Naomi Wolf, a once far leftist who of late seems to have really begun to see the truth, and write about it very well to boot. In a piece on her Substack entitled Destroying Women, Poisoning Breast Milk, Murdering Babies, and Hiding the Truth, she writes that the worst thing that can happen to the human species is happening. Referring to a War Room, Daily Clout, Pfizer document, bunch of research volunteers, a group, she notes, of medical and scientific experts who've selflessly stepped up to analyze tens of thousands of formerly internal Pfizer documents released under court order subsequent to a lawsuit by Aaron Seary's firm, and a FOIA by public health and medical professionals for transparency. Well, they've now fully documented, she says, that Pfizer's mRNA, not vaccines, target human reproduction in comprehensive and, hey, here's a surprise, likely irreversible ways. Our 3,250 research volunteers in 39 fully cited reports to date have documented evidence of what she notes she's been calling 360 degrees of harm to human reproduction. The Pfizer documents reveal monstrous damage to, well, to just about everything associated with reproduction. From menstruation, to harm to the testes and epididymis, harms to the penis, horrible harm to the ova and ovaries, mechanisms for compromising the placenta, contamination of amniotic fluid, and, of course, damage to newborns, if they live that long. They reveal that four women's breast milk turned blue-green. They reveal injuries to at least one newborn that extends to death or murder from ingesting the tainted breast milk. They reveal horrific levels of miscarriages. They reveal that Pfizer defined exposure to the vaccine as including sexual intercourse, especially at time of conception. Hey, kind of tough to imagine the converse, isn't it? And they reveal a weird focus on mammalian sex and reproductive issues, almost like somebody was planning on it, huh? All of these horrors make extended appearances in the Pfizer documents, she writes, which were never expected to see the light of day. So she concludes, soon humanity will realize that the worst thing to ever happen to it has happened. Yep, it has to come out. Soon humanity will realize, she writes, that the miscarriages and the drops in birth rate worldwide documented by Igor Chudov, the drop in life expectancies, the neonatal deaths, the ruination of eggs and ovaries were done to them with knowledge of forethought, and that in many cases relating to fertility, the means for healing the bodies of women is just not clear. Every day, she says, my inbox seethes with women asking questions like, can the lipid nanoparticles be removed from my ovaries? My daughter miscarried right after receiving the Pfizer vaccine. My daughter-in-law was vaccinated while pregnant. What can be done for her? But mainstream news outlets, let alone so-called government regulatory agencies, aren't helping women with this crisis. No, folks, who are we kidding? Obviously, one of the major points of Fauci's bioweapon was precisely this. Rather, she says, concerning these so-called government agencies, they're seeking to gaslight us about it and kill off reputationally and to censor those who try to bring this evidence to the light of day. Here's just one example. In one of the 39 War Room Daily Clout reports about the staggering harms and upside-down so-called science in the Pfizer documents, a volunteer recently made a mistake. In a post dated August 12th of this year, the volunteer miscounted 11 miscarriages or spontaneous abortions of women who'd been injected in Pfizer's clinical trial as 22. The miscarriages, spontaneous abortions, were listed in two separate tables in the 3,600-plus page Pfizer document, but the subject codes revealed that some of them were duplicates. We learned of this error on August 17th due to work done by Naked Emperor on his Substack and Phil Carpen on Twitter. Of course, we immediately corrected the error. I publicly noted the correction on every podcast in which I appeared. But both the Associated Press and Reuters, two of the biggest newswires on the planet, went after us. So it does beg the question, are those newswires who so aggressively assailed the credibility of a team of highly credentialed researchers doing a public service, while they remain unconflicted? AP, or should I say AP Xinhua, she notes, pursued us with an article falsely exonerating Pfizer, one that appeared in virtually every local newspaper in the country. She provides the link. And the Associated Press is conflicted in covering the story, she adds, what with its direct financial ties to Xinhua News Agency, the official state news agency of the People's Republic of China, and of course that means the Communist Chinese Party too. Xinhua is also a ministry-level institution subordinate to the State Council of the CCP, the highest-ranking state media organization in that communist country. They have a number of Memorandums of Cooperation, or MOCs, with Xinhua, which is an entity that Reporters Without Borders calls the world's biggest propaganda machine. Well, maybe outside of a certain three-letter agency that starts with Central. But who knows, folks, given what we've seen lately, I guess it is possible that I repeat myself. She goes on for quite a while about all the details here, folks, but I think you get the point. The connections go way more than skin deep, and they're pretty insidious, too. So who, she says, and she knows the answer, and you're gonna, who's been criticizing the Communist Chinese Party and their partnership with Pfizer BioNTech? Well, yours truly, meaning Naomi Wolf. Elsewhere in the Substack, she notes, I broke the story of how Pfizer injections are in fact produced with a MOU, or a Memorandum of Understanding, between BioNTech and Fosun Pharmaceuticals, a CCP-run big pharma company based in Shanghai. She explained how their manufacturing branches in Boston and Princeton are such that when, if you are duped into taking a vaccine this year, you may well be injected with material, or via IP, overseen by the Communist Chinese Party. There's a shocker. She's also written, she notes, about how the Pfizer BioNTech SEC filing for 2021 counts as being 100% complete, a tech transfer, a technology giveaway to Red China. And in their hit piece on us, she notes, the AP somehow managed to let the FDA, which saw and signed off on every single one of the tens of thousands of documents in that Pfizer release, to get away with saying nothing at all. And not only that, she notes, the global powerhouse, the Associated Press, couldn't manage to get a single U.S. taxpayer-funded federal agency, including that one tasked with protecting the safety and health, yeah, sure, of American food and drug, to even return their calls. Isn't that a shame? Even though the documents are in FDA's legal custody and contain the lettering FDA Confidential right there on the bottom margin. AP, she notes, also let Pfizer off on their claim, unchallenged since 2020, that a phase 3 clinical study of more than 44,000 people, half of whom were women, according to Pfizer, showed that miscarriages were, and I'm quoting, folks, not reported as a vaccine side effect, unquote. Well, that doesn't mean they didn't happen. It just means that they didn't get reported, doesn't it? I guess now it's time to start debunking some more lies. First, she notes, the study didn't, in fact, have more than 44,000 people, and then she gives the link. But second, the AP did not link or appear to even check the study, which was reported in the New England Journal of Medicine. But had they done so, they'd have had to inform readers that pregnant women had been, you ready, excluded from the study. Noting that the report, quote, does not address the prevention of COVID-19 in other populations, such as younger adolescents, children, and, pregnant women. So maybe it makes sense that if you exclude pregnant women, miscarriages weren't reported as a vaccine side effect. Aren't they clever? Oh, one more comment from your host here, folks. If you're really clever, you can exclude people from the study ex post facto, after they've had problems that you don't want to have to report. The AP also linked to a Mayo Clinic website post from 2021, coincidentally the very year that vaccinated moms started to miscarry at huge scale, to make the case that there was nothing at all unusual about the miscarriage rates in the Pfizer document.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
Which is normally, claims the Mayo Clinic, around 10 to 20%. And here there follow several paragraphs about how you can lie with statistics and claim that really, really abnormally high rates really are nothing to see here. Move along, move along. And there's still more, including conflicts of interest up and down the line. Reuters doesn't get off the hook on this score either. They're conflicted, she writes, in covering us or any Pfizer-related story because of their direct ties to the board of directors of Pfizer. Ties that Reuters didn't disclose in a hit piece on, no, not Pfizer itself, but critics of Pfizer. And did the Society of Professional Journalists Code of Ethics even slow them down? Not so you'd notice. Unsurprisingly, she adds, given this background, they were involved this last week in Fauci's claim that he'd been fact-checked to Senator Rand Paul for his own benefit. Yeah, she adds, you can't make this level of corruption up. And since those last hit pieces appeared, she continues, two lawsuits have revealed that both the Center for Death and Control and their Carol Crawford and, what else, the White House itself were discussing back in 2021, she writes, my accurate tweet warning women of menstrual and thus fertility harms from the mRNA poison pokes. She didn't put it that way, I will. Daily Cloud's publicist Ellen Kennelly wrote a superb press release putting that news in the context of other damage that the team had been finding related to reproductive harm to human beings, and as soon as Ms. Kennelly tried to post it on the EIN press wire, that entity shut her down. Not just her, but our account too, writes Dr. Wolf, and informed us that we could never reopen one. writes Jim Hoff for the Gateway Pundit. They, the War Room Daily Clout research team, are the only team scouring the tens of thousands of documents that Big Pharma wanted the courts to seal for a full 75 years. It's the impressive Daily Clout team, he continues, that's exposing all the vaccine-related health risks, deleted data sets, altered trials, and the cabal of COVID mRNA. Real, not the kind that Big Brother and its Centers for Death and Control want you to believe, misinformation. And it turns out that those conflicts of interest were just the beginning. Executives of the EIN Newswire Service, writes Hoft, are investors in patient care, pharmaceuticals, and they have deep origins in the Democrat swamp. And if Naomi Wolf ever opened another account, EIN Presswire would keep that money with no refunds. I guess, folks, once you've been marked as a truther, Satan's sources don't want anything to do with you ever again. But here's where things really get rugged, folks. Leaving aside the bought-off or corrupt nature of all these increasingly surreal efforts to lie, cover up the truth, and in the process, sterilize and kill who knows how many millions of people by what used to be ethical platforms, in their ugly efforts to silence our warnings to fellow human beings that their reproductive health is sorely at risk of being damaged or destroyed by these mRNA vaccines, you have to ask the question, is the Pfizer vaccine safe for pregnant or breastfeeding women, for fetuses or babies? Answer, no, no, and no. The article continues with other peer-reviewed looks at the data, including that by Dr. Robert Chandler, which basically leads her to conclude with a single, pretty much undeniable conclusion. Pfizer knew, and I would say they knew blankety-blank and well, that they were ruining women and killing babies. In other words, this is not merely gross negligence, folks, by unbelievably stupid people. Oh, and unless you think that these Communist Chinese Party, Pfizer-affiliated bioweapons experts are just misogynists, men, too, are under reproductive attack. The volunteers and Daily Clout COO, Amy Kelly, found that Pfizer vaccine ingredients permeate the testes and affect the epididymis, the Sertoli cells, the so-called nurse cells of the testicles, the Leydig cells, the primary sources of testosterone in males, and the germ cells. In other words, beyond just suppressing sperm count and sperm motility, these injections damage baby boys and small boys and teenage boys' ability to grow up normally in terms of the development of masculinity itself. And, gee, does that sound even remotely similar to other things we've seen a whole lot of lately? And as Naomi Wolf, Ms. Kelly's review of the database also found mRNA injections to have caused severe injuries to the penises of mRNA-tainted men. And that's not all. Even the next generations are under bioweapon attack. Here's a preprint from another study entitled Pre-Exposure to mRNA LNP Inhibits Adaptive Immune Response and Alters Innate Immune Fitness in an Inheritable Fashion. In other words, if anything is fertilized after this injection, it can inherit some of the damage caused by the Zyklon B injection. So even if it survives to be able to reproduce, it may not end up being fertile itself. And there's literally volumes more information here, folks. And you can rest assured, Big Brother doesn't want you to hear it. Writes Dr. Naomi Wolf, I first reported on the global baby die-off here on her Substack 3 months ago. The BBC, as she mentioned above, reported on a spike in baby deaths in Scotland. My reporting about the Scottish baby die-off is a concern echoed by groups of Scottish women who are contacting me seeking answers. There's more. There's a group of Israeli women journalists that are also concerned. Dead babies haunt the VAERS database. Showing absolutely incredible numbers of dead babies, spontaneous abortions, and fetal disorders. In just the past couple of years, 3,816 babies died after their mothers received a so-called COVID-19 vaccine manufactured by Moderna, Pfizer-BioNTech, or Janssen. And these numbers mean that 57% of all the vaccinations that resulted in a dead baby or fetus over the past 25 years or so occurred after pregnant women started receiving the Zyklon B injections. And I'm going to change just that one word in there, and you know what it is. The story that Dr. Wolf and Amy Kelly and the War Room Daily Clout research volunteers are all telling, with primary source after primary source documenting the story, reveals, as she puts it, 360 degrees of harm to human reproduction, as revealed in the Pfizer documents, and that appears to break a massive media taboo. Yeah, you're just not allowed to talk about it, which, arguably, isn't surprising. If you had intentionally, or, she says, by accident, ruined the future of the human race, or ruined the future of about half of it, at least, and killed and malformed a whole lot of babies along the way, you too might be trying to shoot the messenger. And if you think about it, folks, you know why it is they don't want you to know about this. And also why it is they want to make sure we don't have a system of justice that, if it still existed, might arguably end up in a whole lot of people who are guilty of massive crimes against humanity, as well as massive genocide, hanging by the necks until they are dead, dead, dead. So you're not allowed to know about it, much less to talk about it. And with that, folks, we're out of time for today, so thanks for being with us, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.